Hello, you are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM, and this is the Friday edition of Off the Hour. This month, a multi-party committee of Canadian parliamentarians, calling itself the Canadian Parliamentary Coalition to Combat Anti-Semitism, or the CPCCA, released a report that proposes a definition of a new anti-Semitism in Canada and means for combating this within the country. This is a committee of parliamentarians, but not a parliamentary committee itself, and everything contained in the report at this moment is purely the recommendations and opinions of this committee. The committee is chaired by Mario Silva and Scott Reed and includes as ex officio members Minister Jason Kenney and Erwin Kotler. The mission of the committee, which was struck in 2009, is to confront and combat the Canadian manifestations of the global resurgence of anti-Semitism. The findings of the CPCCA point to college campuses as the locus of this rise in anti-Semitism, primarily for the presence of criticism of the actions of the State of Israel, pro-Palestine solidarity work, and Israeli Apartheid Week. Thus, the report has raised several concerns about free speech and the meaning of anti-Semitism. We will get more into the stipulations used in the report a little bit later. In a statement to the National Post, members of Faculty for Palestine stated the following in response to the report. Its conflation of criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism is inaccurate and dangerous. I'm joined on the phone by Sam Bick, who is a member of Tadamin here in Montreal and a co-organizer and participant in Israeli Apartheid Week. Hello.
Sam. Hi there.
So I want to start off by just asking about your reaction to this association of this report with Israeli Apartheid Week and anti-Semitism and a culture of hate on campuses.
Sure. Well, firstly, thanks for having me on. Second, just as a caveat, I have not read the report, but just piecing together what you said there, I think it's this fundamental problem that Faculty for Palestine outlined in the statement of conflating anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. And I think it's something that for a lot of people, I think that I organize with, and for a lot of friends in the Jewish community, is a clear distinction, but for a lot of people it isn't. And I think people can be against a state that is a colonial force, without being anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish, I think is a more accurate statement.
So do you want to tell our listeners just a little bit about what Israeli Apartheid Week is, what you do during Israeli Apartheid Week? Because in the report, there are a lot of references to hateful discourse, confrontations, and just a general hostile culture on campuses as a result of this event.
If
you could comment a little bit about what it is that you're seeking to do during Israeli Apartheid Week.
Sure. I mean, I think first just even grabbing onto that word hateful discourse, and I will get to what IW is in a second, but I think it's such an easy way to get around actually engaging with the facts when you're talking about hateful discourse. Hateful action is an occupation of Gaza. Hateful action is an occupation of the West Bank. And I think that trying to get around this by calling this hateful discourse is really very telling of folks who are supportive of the State of Israel not wanting to actually engage with what's happening. But Israeli Apartheid Week, I think it's its seventh year that just passed, might be its eighth. I'm not exactly sure on the details, but it happened in about 55 cities around the world last year. And it's primarily focused on educating people about the nature of Israeli apartheid, a word that wasn't so popular several years ago, but is gaining popularity and gaining acceptance in various circles. And it's also linked to building the BDS campaign around the world, the BDS campaign being the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions campaign, linked to a 2005 call from about 150 groups in the Palestinian civil society calling on people around the world to boycott, divest, and sanction Israel. And so there's usually a wide range of lectures, films, actions linked to raising awareness on campuses about the nature of Israeli apartheid and really actually having the debate about what's going on. I think this idea that this is hate speech, again, is just an attempt to shut it down and an attempt to shut down any criticism of what's going on in Palestine.
How do you think that these recommendations from the CPCCA could impact this discourse, could impact students on college campuses?
I think, again, and I'm going to say this as someone who grew up in the Jewish community and whose family is all identifies as Jewish, I think this throwing around the term anti-Semitism to quell any discussion of things that people aren't comfortable with, I think really dilutes the term anti-Semitism and really doesn't allow us to engage with actual acts of anti-Semitism that exist. I mean, I've experienced it firsthand, and I think that again, it just puts, it makes what acts of anti-Semitism are so broad that we actually lose sight of what is transpiring. Was that clear? I'm not sure if it was, but
it was clear.
And I think in terms of Canvas, it's moving along a line where organizations have succeeded in not, or at least limiting or marginalizing Israeli Apartheid Week, is that it really shuts down conversation. And when conversation starts so far to the proverbial right, it's very hard to even engage with what a lot of us consider to be basic, fundamental needs that have to be met for justice to happen in that region. Things like the right of return for Palestinian refugees or for Palestinians in exile don't even get mentioned in most mainstream discourses. I mean, even when you talk about what's happening in September, this discussion of maybe the creation of a Palestinian state at the United Nations, the idea of right of return isn't even mentioned. And I think that Israeli Apartheid Week allows for real, more broader discussions of what justice means in that region, and attempts to shut down IW are attempts to actually shut down what will be a meaningful and just solution in that region.
So just to be clear for our listeners, you were saying that you've already started to see this kind of shutdown of discourse on campuses that you've been organizing Israeli Apartheid Week on?
I think not necessarily where I've been personally involved with, but allies across North America, for example. But I mean, I think even just to bring it back to McGill and to attempts to shut down allies of Pittsburgh for their alliance with groups like Tadamon. I think we have bounced back, and I think a lot of groups have been able to rally behind this.
Thank you so much for coming on, Sam, and painting a picture of Israeli Apartheid Week for us.
We're joined in studio by Scott Weinstein, a Montreal-based street medic and community nurse and spokesperson for Independent Jewish Voices, first introducing Independent Jewish Voices as an organization.
Hi, yeah, thank you for having me on. Well, you know, Jews are very divided on Israel. And, you know, I'm glad that Sam Bick came out as a Jew, because it's really quite surprising how many Jewish people are part of the leadership and organizing core of many of the Palestinian solidarity organizations. And so that speaks to our division, which is that, you know, there are some Jews who are, you know, human rights based, that, you know, we think we're not special people. We're just like everyone else, and that what's going on in Israel with the occupation and oppression of Palestinians reflects, you know, very badly on Jews. And then there's, you know, I would say maybe the majority of Jews, slight majority, who thinks that, you know, Israel right or wrong, and, you know, they're paying for the sins against us by the Nazis and the European anti-Semites during the pogroms. So Independent Jewish Voices is a human rights-based organization, and we just, you know, very essentially believe that human rights are applicable to all. And unlike, you know, someone like Erwin Kotler, who's known as a human rights lawyer, who thinks that human rights are applicable to all except Palestinians, we include Palestinians in our definition of human rights, universal human rights.
Getting into the document, the committee begins with a working definition of anti-Semitism that they take from the European Fundamental Rights Agency, which is now called the European Fundamental Rights Agency. And the definition that they start off with is the following. Anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews, which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed towards Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, towards Jewish community institutions and religious facilities. In addition, such manifestations could also target the state of Israel, conceived as a Jewish collectivity. So this definition is at the heart of this document. It's the starting point for their discussion.
And that's a problem.
Yeah, so I was going to, that was my question, is do you think that this is a reasonable starting point for this committee and its goals?
No, and I think you have to look at this definition. Like the first two sentences, I wouldn't have too many problems with. It's, you know, hatred expressed against Jews or people who are, you know, identify with Jews. And, you know, that's pretty traditional. I think everybody accepts this. But what they've done is it's they're kind of like car salesmen. They're saying, okay, look, your old model is no longer good. You know, we want to sell you a new 2011, you know, Honda Civic, which has these bells and whistles. So they add this, the last definition, which is the state of Israel. And, you know, that is like incredibly, you know, deceptive and, you know, sleazy. Because the state of Israel, as everybody says, it's, you know, it's a state, it's a nation. And you don't equate the nation with the people. You know, we don't criticize Cuba or, let's say, you know, the Communist Party in Cuba and say, okay, well, we're anti-Latino or anti-Cuban. You know, we might have a problem with the leadership. And certainly a lot of people around the world. and Jews especially, have a huge problem with the leadership in Israel. It doesn't mean we're anti-Jewish.
There are further stipulations within the document called the Ottawa Protocol, which attempts to differentiate between anti-Semitism and legitimate criticism of Israel. But I think I'll read this, and maybe you can respond to see whether or not this meets the goals of the document or are a legitimate starting point. But it says, criticism of Israel is not anti-Semitic, and saying so is wrong. But singling Israel out for selective condemnation and opprobrium, let alone denying its right to exist or seeking its destruction, is discriminatory and hateful, and not saying so is dishonest. Would you say that this incriminates Israeli Apartheid Week as hateful and anti-Semitic?
No, and it's just a totally meaningless statement, because what does it mean to signal out Israel? I mean, you can criticize me for signaling out the United States when I criticize the United States, or, you know, I have a problem with Canada and its mining operations or how they treat indigenous people. So, you know, when I say that, someone can say, well, I'm anti-Canadian. It's a meaningless statement, but they repeat it so often that it takes on weight. And the fact is that the biggest critics of Israel in the print are Jews. Okay, if you really want to, you know, it's the people who really know Israel the best. The Palestinians and the Jews are its biggest critics. And what they're trying to do, let's, you know, strip away their rhetoric and get to, you know, what their fundamental goal is. They're panicking because Israel's coming under attack. It's losing legitimacy by its, you know, very actions, which are, you know, exposed to the light of day instantly by the internet. And they're trying to marginalize criticism of Israel. And it's a losing battle, you know, so I'm not too worried. I almost say we welcome their criticisms because it gives us publicity, which we couldn't afford by ourselves. But they're just doing ad hominem attacks against us and everyone else to try to say that anybody who criticizes Israel is a enemy of the Jews. And the problem is that they're having to cast their net wider and wider, because, you know, maybe 10 years ago it was mostly Palestinians and a few leftists. Now it's liberal Jews, okay? And if you look at Israel, if you read the Israeli papers or listen to the Israeli media, I mean, there's just, you know, it's just growing inside Israel, and it's, the country is starting to implode within, not just being attacked from without. So this discussion is going to be really interesting in a year, because the people they're going to be criticizing isn't just going to be Israeli Apartheid Week. It's going to be, you know, a liberal Zionist organization such as Friends of Peace Now, which has just come out in favor of boycotts, which is a shock. I'll just stop there.
I want to go back to the document specifics. A lot of the evidence cited refers to graffiti on synagogues, mm-hmm. few campus things. How do you see the evidence lining up with the recommendations, okay, and the evidence justifying the document and need for a particular coalition to address this quote-unquote new anti-Semitism?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And the truth is, look, anti-Semitism, like any anti-racism, is terrible. I mean, I denounce, and we denounce the graffiti. We certainly denounce the firebombing of the Jewish shul, the school here, things like that. Those are horrible things. But what's going on campus is not proven. Specifically, they talked about Israeli Apartheid Week at York University 2 years ago. They called it a hate fest. But the problem is that when they actually pointed to York University, there was no evidence coming out of York University except from the Israel lobby itself, that there were anything bad happened, because the administration from York University couldn't verify anything, although they were present at the incident in question. Police security from York University and the Toronto police couldn't verify anything, although they were present too. So it's just, they made up facts of anti-Semitism that don't justify the what they're saying is anti-Semitism is spreading in Canada, especially in the universities, and they can't justify it. But what is spreading in Canada is homophobic violence, okay? And there's no, you know, parliamentary commission to deal with homophobia and violence there. I mean, we know that most cases of, quote, anti-Semitism in Canada are graffiti, which, you know, we're not going to condone graffiti. It's terrible, but it's a lot different than getting beat up or being killed. And violence against gay males and lesbians is certainly on the increase here, and the Canadian government isn't taking any steps visibly against that.
You were saying that anti-Semitism, like all other forms of racism, has a violent and it has a devastating history. In a July 22nd Al Jazeera English article by Gillian Kessler de Moores, she's a Canadian journalist who lives in Jerusalem, she said that by defining legitimate criticism of Israeli policy and pro-Palestinian activism in Canada as anti-Semitic, the CPCCA is not only threatening free speech and freedom of protest, but it is undermining the fight against real cases of anti-Semitism and weakening the seriousness with which such cases should be dealt. And I know Sam was referring to this before. It's diluting what Jews see as real cases of anti-Semitism in their communities by trying to stamp out discourse on campuses. And you end up with people like who's the ex officio on this committee, Jason Kenney, telling people what is and isn't anti-Semitic when, as you were saying, there are cases of violence against gay people. Jason Kenney has openly stated that, you know, before marriage was passed, that he thinks marriage should only be between a man and a woman. He has upped deportations of immigration. He says immigrants should be only English-speaking and French-speaking before they come into the country. And you have people like this telling people what anti-Semitism is. So do you want to respond to that?
Right. I mean, that's the quote, you know, that they're diluting real anti-Semitism and they're making it irrelevant is absolutely true. And what you're seeing is that the Israel lobby is willing to throw real anti-Semitism under the bus in order to save Israel. I mean, look, this is a bogus report from the CPCCA. We knew it from the beginning. They released it a year and a half late because they knew they didn't have anything to stand up to. They released it in the middle of the summer when, you know, during a low media time. And who is the Israeli lobby, aligning itself with? They're aligning themselves with anti-Semitic Christian Zionists who fundamentally don't like Jews, okay? They're waiting for, you know, the end of the days when Jesus reappears and everybody who does not appear, you know, convert to Christianity gets, you know, boiled or turned into frogs, i.e. us Jews. So anti-Semitism has become like the real canard of the Israel lobby. And unfortunately for many, a growing number of Jews, you know, we are being faced with, you know, a very difficult question now. Where do we stand? Do we stand for humanity? Do we stand for the Jewish people? Or do we stand for Zionism? And I think what is happening is gradually you're seeing an increasing number of Jews who are saying, I am no longer fidel. I'm no longer faithful to a nationalistic ideology. I am faithful to people.
Scott, the last question I have for you that you just touched on is, what kind of water do you think this is going to hold, especially on university campuses where the main recommendations are focused?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't have a good answer because whether the recommendations from the CPCCA are right or wrong, it's all about power. You know, and that's why these new shows and, you know, groups like Israeli Apartheid Week to Dominate, et cetera, are very important, you know, because they hold a light to, you know, this attempt at censorship. And that's what it is. It's purely an attempt to muzzle human rights activists who are fighting on behalf of human rights for Palestinians as well as Israelis. And, you know, the Israel lobby doesn't want that. They want Israel to be a colonial state with and to, you know, exile or ethnically cleanse the Palestinians. And that's what's going on, you know, under our noses. So whether we're, you know, legally in the future allowed to say that or not, I think a lot is going to depend on, you know, how many people sort of stand up and demand that, you know, free speech and human rights are paramount above the needs of an Israeli state.
Thank you for joining us. We were just speaking with Scott Weinstein from Independent Jewish Voices, and before that, Sam Bick, who is a co-organizer of Israeli Apartheid Week, about a recent report by the Canadian Parliamentary Coalition to Combat Anti-Semitism, a multi-party group of parliamentarians, and their inquiry into what is being called new anti-Semitism, and the recommendations for criticism of Israel on university campuses, the impacts of this could have on free speech and several student organizations. You are listening to the Friday edition of Off the Hour.